Today's Mishnah is from the second and third Mishnah from the third Perek Masechta Makot, and we continue learning about these prohibitions that are punishable with Malkut, with lashes, if someone was pre-warned. Return to focusing on those prohibitions that are punishable with karet. So Mishnah says, "Atamesh achalat kodesh." If someone is actually tameh and they eat from a korban, v'haba el hamikdash tameh, or he enters the base of midrash in a state of impurity, those will be punishable with karet. And if they're forewarned, one would receive lashes. All these prohibitions are derived from psukim. However, we'll follow the same vein as Batanura and actually not elaborate every single one rather than going through the way Kahati does and bring the source for every single one, simply because the format of Ashir doesn't afford us the time. However, you're more than welcome to look into Kahati and see the derivation of every single one. Let's continue. Achol Achele, if someone eats forbidden fats of an animal, or he has the dam, or he has the blood of an animal. Similarly, this would be punishable with karet. Dam for here refers to actually dam ha-nefesh, dam shchita, albeit the rest of the dam or the blood of the animal one's not allowed to consume. But if, again, we're restricting at least the beginning of the discussion to those things that are punishable with karet, that's why I made the qualification when it comes to blood. Let's continue. The notar, which refers to an animal that was shechted, offered as a korban, and has to be consumed within the restricted time. So in korbanot, a day and then the night. Other korbanot, you have the day, night, and following day. However, if someone eats from such a korban that's left beyond the allotted time, that's also punishable with karet, and similarly pigul. Now, pigul refers to if someone had the thought to consume or offer a korban outside a lot of time whilst performing one of the four critical avoda, or actions that is required for a korban, for example, slaughtering it, sprinkling the blood, etc., or receiving the blood and also taking the blood to the mizbeach and then sprinkling it. Those are the four critical avodas. Now, if someone had the intention to eat from this korban outside a lot of time when he performed these avoda, this animal would be defined as pigul. Now, this is even if the korban, or I should say, it must be such that the korban is performed correctly from that point onwards. So if someone eats from that korban, they would be punished with karet again. And importantly, for the context of our mesechta, if he's pre-warned, he would receive lashes. Then it continues, the tameh, someone eats a korban that was tameh, similarly, would be also punished with karet. Let's continue. Hashochet v'amala b'chutz. If someone slaughters a korban or offers it outside the base of Migdash, this is another one of the prohibitions of ha'ochel chametz v'pesach. Someone eats chametz during Pesach as well. That's also punishable with karet. V'ha'ochel v'oseh malacha b'yom kippur. If someone either eats on Yom Kippur or does malacha on Yom Kippur, it's also punished with karet. V'ha'mefatem et ha'shemen v'ha'mefatem et ha'ktoret. If someone tries to replicate either the anointing oil, he tries to make the concoction of this anointing oil, or he tries to put together the ha'mefatem et ha'ktoret, the incense was offered in the base of Migdash, is also listed as part of our prohibitions. V'asach b'shemen ha'mishcha. If someone took the special anointing oil that Moshe Rabbeinu made in the Midbar and starts rubbing on his own skin, that's punishable with karet. So till now we referred to, as I said, the subcategory of those prohibitions punishable with karet, and now we refer to other prohibitions as well, that one receives malkut, albeit not in the category of those that are punishable with karet. So v'achil nevelot, if someone eats an animal that wasn't shechted properly, it died, or someone shot it. The trefot, and this refers to an animal that could have been shechted properly, could have slaughtered it properly. However, it has an anatomical issue with the animal such that it would not survive a year. Next, shkatzim or ramarasim, if someone eats one of the creepy crawlies, as we're not allowed to do, this is also a lo taseh, or a chal tevel, this produce as it's harvested. If you remember, this is going back to almost the beginning of our study together. One has to separate Trumot Masur, then one has to give to the Kohen, the Levim, and Tzami is the Ani as well. So if someone eats tevel without separating anything, you would receive malkut. Masa Rishon Shino Nitla Trumata. This is referring to the first tithe. Now, the first tithe is given to the Levim. The Levim themselves have to separate a tenth of that tenth, which is called Trumat Maestra, and also give that to the Kohanim. So, prior to separating that tithe from the tithe, then it has the din of Tevel, has the status of Tevel as well. Mishnah continues with Masa Sheni Vehektish Shalon Niftu. If someone eats from Masa Sheni or Hektish, something consecrated based on Migdash, prior to it being redeemed, and we'll qualify this a bit more because it's going to be important for the next mission as well, then this is also a prohibition that will be violated and punishable with lashes. Importantly, the Gemara says here, we're referring to Masa Sheni, so just to recap, Masa Sheni is the second tithe that's separated in the first, second, fourth, and fifth year, and has to be taken to Shlaimi and eaten there. If one isn't able to do so, meaning it's just too heavy or it's too bulky, then one can transfer the value onto money, take the money to Shlaim, purchase something, ideally a korban, and then consume it there in Yerushalayim. The case the Mishnah is referring to is if someone took Maaser Sheni into Yerushalayim and then it became Tameh, Mishnah says that even though it's in Yerushalayim, one is not allowed to consume that Maaser Sheni unless it is redeemed. And that's because we learn from the Vidui Maasro, where it says, Velo bi'arti mimenu batame, that I didn't remove my Maasro in a state of tuma. Now that can be either state of tuma of the individual being tame, impure when consuming it, or as in the case of our Mishnah, where it itself, the Maasro Sheni, was tame, and I didn't consume it, even though I was in Yerushalayim, where it was meant to be, I didn't consume in a state of tuma, and therefore it must be redeemed first, money, then money used to purchase something that's tahor, and then consumed. Let's continue. Kama yochal min ha-tevel, how much would some have to eat from tevel and be chay of malkut and violate the prohibition? Rabbi Shimon says a kosher, even the smallest amount. So if you remember, tevel is untithed produce. Chachamim says, no, it has to be kazait. Kazait is this olive size. It's usually the volume or the shear that is associated with prohibitions that relate to consumption, generally. There are exceptions, of course. So however, Amna lehem Rabbi Shimon says, Chachamim, enatem modim libo chel namelah, if someone picks up an ant and consumes an ant, it doesn't. You don't need a kazai. You don't need a full shear for that. Even a kosher, even a single ant, he'd be shu'u chayev. He would be violate the prohibition of hasher atar shu'at ala aretz. Then you're not allowed to consume it. Amul, the response the Chaim give to Rabbi Shimon says, that's different. B'mtayim shu'at kibir yata. When you're dealing with a full creature, then you're right. You don't need a kazai. Even a smallest amount, even a small ant, if someone consumed it, they've violated prohibition. That's why it's incredibly important to check one's vegetables and left there no bugs, no matter how small they are. Amar lahem, Rabbi Shimon responded back, says, even a chita, achat kibirata. He says, look, a wheat kernel is also the way it was created. If you pull that off, so why wouldn't someone violate the prohibition of consuming that, even that small amount, if it was untithed? The response of Chachamim says, well, this is not mentioned in the Mishnah, but the Chachamim respond and they say, well, that's not a creature. Yes, it's a wheat kernel, but the concept of a bria or birya is only if it's actually a creature, a live, moving thing like an ant. So that's why Chachamim is saying when it comes to an ant, yes, you're right, even the smallest amount. But it comes to tevel, we need a shir achila, a volume that qualifies as consumption, for one to be liable to lashes. Let's learn the Mishnah Gimel. Ha'ochel bikurim ad shelo kara aleihem. This is going to take us all the way back to Masechta Bikurim. If you remember, one's first fruits from the Shivat HaMinim, they're meant to bring to Yerushalayim. They place it down in the Beis HaMikdash in front of the Kohen, and they recite the Parsha of Arami Oved Avi, very similar to what we said on Seder night. What the Mishnah is saying is that if someone eats from the Bikurim prior to this, even the Kohen is meant to be receiving this, prior to the Mikra Bikurim, then he would violate this prohibition. Now, if a non-Kohen ate this, then if he does it deliberately, he violates the prohibition, he'd be chay mita bit ashrein, just like truma. The novelty of the Mishnah is it even applies to a Kohen. The Kohen's not allowed to eat it prior to the process of it being placed down and then the actual recitation of the Parsha of Arami Oved Avi. That's opinion of Rabbi Kiva, who holds like Rabbi Shimon in our Mishnah. Kati explains that actually Chachamim have disagree that as soon as we've done Hanachas and we're placing it down there in the Beis HaMikdash, already there's no prohibition, and if the Kohen consumed it prior to the Kriya, the recitation of Arami Oved Avi, then he would not have violated prohibition. Let's continue. Someone eats kodshe kodshin, say some of the meat from a Kohen who receives from the meat from a sin offering or a guilt offering, chatat or asham. If he eats that outside the klaim, literally means the curtains, because that refers to the curtains of Mishkan, but however, in terms of Beis HaMikdash, refers to the walls of the Azara, the temple courtyard, or kodshe kalim, or ma'aseh sheni chutz l'choma, if someone ate ma'aseh sheni outside the walls of Yerushalayim, or kodshe kalim, this is meat, for example, from a shlamim, a peace offering that's meant to be in Yerushalayim, then he would also violate the prohibition. Importantly for Ma'aser Sheni, this is only if the prohibition is only violated if someone brought the Ma'aser Sheni into Yerushalayim first and then took it out. That's derived from the Pasuk, as it says, L'tuchal l'chol b'sharechi, can't eat it in Yerushalayim, meaning outside Yerushalayim, where you live, ki im lifnei Hashem lokecha tochlenu. Rather, they can only be in front of Hashem lecha, meaning in the Beis HaMikdash. In other words, Chachamim understand that the juxtaposition of those two parts means only if once it became fitting to be consumed in front of the Fnei Hashem Lekecha, meaning it's been brought into Yerushalayim and then taken out, that's when the prohibition is violated. Let's continue. Hashova etzem ba Pesach ha-tahor, if someone breaks the bone of a korban Pesach, that is tahor, meaning it's not tameh, it can be consumed, he violates the prohibition of breaking a bone, etzem lo tishbur bo, hareze lo karabayim, he can receive lashes if he was forewarned. Aval ha-motir ba-tahor, if he left some of the flesh of this Korban Pesach till morning, and it says, Lototirim himenu aboker, it's a prohibition in the Torah. Vehashover batameh, if someone breaks a bone from a Korban Pesach that was tameh, in both those two cases, ein lo karabayim, he wouldn't receive water lashes. Why? Well, it comes to hamotir, if someone leaves a korban till the next morning, that's because it's referred to what's called the lav shenitik la'aseh. There's a positive mitzvah that says, if you leave it until the morning, so any negative prohibition that's violated, that is followed, as we'll learn in tomorrow's Mishnah, with a positive mitzvah, how to prepare the situation, one would not receive lashes. What about breaking the bone of a korban pesach that was tameh? Why are you pater from that? Why do you not receive malkut if there's a prohibition to break the bone? That's because the Torah says, "Ve'etzem lo tishburu bo." You're not allowed to break the bone of it. Well, the superfluous bo, chachamim understand, meaning referring to a korban pesach that is tahor, that korban pesach that you may eat, which would exclude, meaning that would restrict the prohibition away from and exclude a korban pesach that is tameh. Those are the Mishnah today.